Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
Now we're continuing our coverage in the build-up to this year's House of Keys general election by speaking to another of the candidates to have put the name forward. Today's election 2016 candidate interview is 53-year-old Alan Kermode, who will be standing in the newly merged two-seat constituency of Eyre and Michael. Good afternoon, Alan. Welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Stu, and good afternoon to your listeners.
All right, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Manx born and bred. Stayed here. I've lived here all my life, apart from 2.5 years where I lived and worked in New South Wales.
Okay, and what do you do? What sort of work do you do?
Two companies. I founded Manx Demolition about 20 years ago, and 15 years ago I bought RGW.
And what does RGW do?
Groundworks and civil engineering.
Okay, yeah. So obviously Manx Company is dealing exclusively in the Isle of Man, I'm guessing.
Yes, we work all over the island.
Okay. What makes you want to be an MHK? Have you ever held political ambitions in the past?
No, but I have tried 15 years ago in Glenfarne. But not since then, no.
Okay. No. Did you not think it might be worthwhile getting a job with the commissioners or something like that to get a feel for it at a local level?
No.
No?
Definitely not.
Because?
Because I think my life experience, I can bring a lot to the table.
Okay.
But this is not... Although this is, I am looking for votes, I'm looking to be put in by the people of Eyre and Michael. This is a team. And I'm begging people this time round to put people in that can bring something to the table.
Okay.
For too long we've had the people that have brought nothing to the table. They've gone into politics. It's been a career uplift to them. And it's increased their social standing within the community. That's not good enough anymore.
All right.
We've got to put that aside.
You say working as a team. A team of who? You and what? Other MHKs or you and the constituents?
Other MHKs. Other like-minded MHKs that put the Isle of Man first.
Okay. Let's have a look at your manifesto. You say that prudent management would be a priority. Where do you think that savings can be made? Where do you think they're spending too much money at the moment?
You can't specifically point the finger at any one thing, but you have to look at every single thing, every department. I'm sure there's room for savings. It's just about being prudent.
Yeah. But how would you do that? If you're an MHK, then it's not as though you're going to be a minister where you can look at your own department and get the numbers and decide whether or not you need to reduce the headcount or whatever. As an independent MHK, you're not going to have that power to do anything about it, are you?
Well, you would hope that the team look at things together. Whether no longer in silos, you come together in team. You pass things by each other. If you can help each other out, it's about the team and collectively getting the best deal for the team. That team being in that department.
Yeah,
you help. We can come together for the collective good.
So you see the House of Keys as being a team effort, because at the moment I would suggest that most of them are looking after their own particular interests.
100%.
Rather than the,
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean their own personal interests, but the things that they're involved in. You think that really the House of Keys ought to work more as some sort of a consensus?
That has to be a team, a management team. Team Isle of Man.
Yeah, but I mean, they would say that's what the Council of Ministers is. That's the leadership team of government, if you like.
But it's a small team within a larger team. And collectively, it's like if you want a marina in Ramsey, if you want a marina in Port St Mary, if you want coastal erosion fixed in Kirkmichael, these are individual things that looked at on an individual basis will never get support. But Team Isle of Man looks at our island. We're islanders. We do things together. What's best for the island? Not just Ramsey, Port Eyre and Peel. We are islanders. That hasn't happened.
But isn't that the problem with the way that we've got politics set up in the Isle of Man, that you will be there representing the people of Eyre and Michael? So if somebody says we need 20 million quid to do a promenade scheme in Douglas, then the people of Eyre and Michael would expect you to probably say, well, actually, no, we'd rather we sorted out coastal erosion.
We would look as a team, can we do a cheaper scheme for Douglas? We need to come together. What needs doing around the island collectively and as a team? We'll work away as a team and you know, financially, yeah. we might be able to shorten this, lengthen that, whatever. But as a team, we're not going to do one scheme in isolation. We will
look at the whole island.
a whole island and a number of schemes, yeah. and collectively we work as the team. If Douglas Promenade is fixed, it's Team Isle of Man that's fixed it.
It's interesting that you talk so much about teams, because I'm guessing that in your business life, you know, you're a self-made man, you're the boss, so what you say goes. How will you reconcile being one of 24 MHKs working, as you say, within some sort of a team? Are you a good team player?
Yes. Everything I do is a team. That's what my call has gone out for people around the island, to put in a team player.
But you're the boss, aren't you, at the moment? You're the boss. What you say goes.
But I'm only as good as the team I have. I have to work. I'm not a dictator. I can't dictate things. Mm. I can't dictate to a client. I can't dictate to my men. Whatever you do, you have your client, you have your team. But collectively, a job is put together and administrated by a team.
Everybody's got a part to play in it, yeah.
Correct.
You say that you'd restore confidence. Is that a real problem at the moment? Do you think that the general public have lost confidence in politicians?
Well, don't you?
Yes. But I wonder how much of that is just global cynicism at politicians. I mean, you've only got to look at the American elections, and you wonder how those two people could be standing for president. So our problems here seem fairly minor by comparison.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah, but back to the team. Team of people that can bring something to the table.
Okay. You say that freedom to flourish, for example, should mean what it says. What do you mean by that? Do you think that it's not working?
Definitely. Cite one example. There is no, I drive around the island all year round, there is no plantation with 50-pound notes. It doesn't grow on trees. For all the cutbacks that this talked about, I would actually increase the planning department, the numbers in the planning department, because that needs a sign, that needs a complete overhaul. There needs to be a sign outside there. We are open for business. There's a presumption that you will get approval. We are here to see that development is kick-started. It might be a porch, conservatory, a swimming pool, it might be anything, but nothing that I know of throws money back into the economy. £10 in the construction is £9.99 back in the economy.
Yeah, but wouldn't that mean to say that people who didn't want the neighbours to put a porch up that's going to block the light, wouldn't it disadvantage them, for example, to have a more relaxed planning policy?
Well, the presumption is it's on the back foot. Ask developers, ask householders. There's always this fight for approval, and the NIMBYism is there, but we shouldn't be held back by NIMBYism. You can never have a complete consensus. That's impossible. Yeah. But we need to be proactive.
And what about building generally in the Isle of Man? I mean, you know, people say, "Oh, you want it to be a concrete jungle." Far from that. I mean, if you look at the island, it's 95% green fields, isn't it?
Correct.
So, do you think that there's much scope there to build more?
Yes, because I don't know if you're aware of the planning process. If you put an application in for a house, it's refused. Planning officers have guidelines, and they work to the guidelines. And the guideline says, in the countryside, this will be detrimental. Mm. However, new guidelines, if this house can be designed, it can be landscaped, it can only enhance the landscape, not detract from it.
Okay, well, that's a point of view. You think that the island should step up and really make friends more with England, be more of an ally to the UK in the wake of Brexit. What do you mean by that? Because our links with the UK are pretty strong already, aren't they?
Yes. Islanders haven't had a vote in Brexit. However, I would like the new elected government, I would like to see them go and meet Westminster and go to Westminster and meet David Davis and me personally. We've got you. We're on your side.
Right.
I think there's a future. But that's not me personally. That would be the team. Team deciding that we supported Brexit. We think England will not have a lot of friends at this moment in time. I think standing shoulder to shoulder would be beneficial.
So it's a good time, an opportunity for us to forge new alliances, you think?
I believe so.
And do you think that they care in the UK about what the Isle of Man thinks about anything?
No, we're not top of the list. No, far from it. No. But I think though, right now, there's gains for both of us. Possible gains for both of us.
All right. So Brexit is not the nightmare that a lot of people are suggesting. You think that there might be opportunities there as well?
Definitely.
How much of the work, if you're elected, do you think will go into working on local constituency issues and matters, and how much of it will be being a part of a national government?
Well, that's the big unknown. I can't answer that.
Mm.
All I can say is, I'll be there.
OK. And what would you do with your business? Would you carry that on if you were elected as an MHK? Or
I have two managers that pretty much manage day-to-day stuff as it is now anyway, so...
OK. People say that the big threats that the island faces over the next 5 years are... The biggest one is the public sector pensions deficit. What's your view on that, and what do you think should be done about it?
At the moment, I see three options. Pay more, take less, or some people have to be unemployed.
Right.
Pay off. That's...
Okay. All right. And
I don't see that's the gist of it.
Well, the government would say that that's what they're doing. They're making people pay for longer, take less out of it. So, you know...
They're skirting around the sides, though.
They
need to grip it, yeah.
It needs to be a bit more dramatic, the response to it. Yeah. What about opportunities then? Because we need to save money, we could do with making some money as well. So do you see any golden opportunities for the Isle of Man over the next 5 years?
Well, we have to restore confidence. We have to become a place that is the best place to live, work and do business in the British Isles. I'm not saying we will ever get there, but that's what needs to be put on tin. When we look at that board, that's the focus. One example, there's been nearly £3 million of taxpayers' money spent on the tram lines. There's no more bums going to sit on seats for that investment. However, if you'd put carriages on for mountain bikes, they could go up to Snaefeld,
yeah,
use the cafe there, and come back down again. Demolish the eyesore that is the former Motor Museum. That's an embarrassment. And build another cafe there. If you go to Fort William in Scotland, that's done. You put the £3 million investment in, but there's no more return. We need to go that little bit more and see the return. You've got to want to live here.
Yes.
If you don't want to live here, why bring your family up here if there's nothing to do for families?
I've been saying for years that we need some sort of a gravity pursuit centre at Snaefell, because it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? It'd be somewhere for people to go at the weekends.
But we're not reinventing the wheel.
It wouldn't cost
here.
A lot of money to do it, probably.
No, but there's will. You have to have the will.
And maybe an entrepreneurial approach to things as well. Do you think that the current politicians are maybe don't have that feel for how to make things better? Do you think that, you know, a lot of people suggest that the current crop of MHKs are very good at talking about things,
yeah,
and pushing things around a table,
yeah,
but not,
yeah,
at actually,
yeah,
doing much?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
100%. Yes, yeah. You have to bring something to the table. Like-minded people will see a thing through. But you've got to come out of your silo and think, Isle of Man first. If it doesn't work, I might lose my seat the next time round. Well, so be it, but I've done my best for the island.
Yeah, okay.
Isle of Man first.
What about politics in general? What about things like, you know, people are talking at the moment about whether or not the Chief Minister should be elected by the public,
yes,
whether or not LegCo, yes, should be elected by the public. What do you think about those things?
Definitely the Chief Minister.
Should be elected by the public?
Yes, because you have now, I've got my hobby horses, there'll be 23 other hobby horses. The Chief Minister, to a greater or less degree, he will decide which way we kind of go for the next 5 years, whether it be left wing, right wing, stay where we are, or be bold and take a risk, and what team he'll put by, he'll want to have with him.
Yeah.
None of us have a say in that, and that's not... But I can't reinvent the wheel. All I can ask is that hopefully that like-minded people that can put a bit back to this island will come forward this time round, and we might get a sea change.
What about Lord Lisvain's report? I mean, do you think that there was any credibility in his suggestions in there?
Some, but let's not try and get bogged down for the next 5 years in change. Let's deal with what we've got.
Yes.
Let's come together, let's have a new team, and let's do things differently.
Well,
let's be positive.
It's likely it is going to be a pretty new team, isn't it? Because there are a lot of established politicians who are not going to stand for re-election. So, you know, it could well be that half of the keys this time is people who've got no political experience at all. Is that not a bit of a worry to us that we've not got many experienced people on board?
No, because I've talked to Eddie Tier and Alan Bell. This wouldn't be my decision, but I think the newly elected government would be prudent if they took both chaps on for maybe 6 months as a bedding in exercise, basically to hand the reins over. If you take a business over and just walk out the door, well, yeah, here it is now, can I have a look at your black book? That's not how you do business. I've talked to both, and they would be both willing, but that won't be my decision. I think I think Tin will be wise to have their counsel.
I think a lot of members of the public would be outraged at the idea of that, but I can see
it's management.
The benefit.
It's not saying we're going to follow your policies. It's knowing how the thing works. You can't fix something if you don't know how it works.
Yeah, okay.
It gives you an insight of how it works, who to see, how things are done. Then you can look to change a thing.
All right. We've talked about politics. We've talked about national politics. What about local issues? What are the things that are really on the minds of people in Erin Michael when you knock on the door, on the front doors?
Well, Kirkmichael obviously is coastal erosion.
Yeah.
That's been going on for years and years. It can be fixed. Anybody can go to Glenwillan now and you see two outcrops of rock, 30-metre retreat each side of you. Rock revetment will work.
But is it expensive?
It'll be expensive, but I will be able to put some numbers to that. There will be a meeting in Kirkmichael. By then, I should have numbers from shippers, from quarries, which I've already been in discussions with, as to do it.
I wonder about, I mean, somebody else mentioned that earlier in the week, and I just wonder whether or not it's actually cheaper to allow houses to fall off the edge of a cliff and pay some sort of compensation than it would be to actually build some sort of a revetment.
Yeah, but at some point, Stu, where does that line stop? Those houses go. Then the next row, then the next row. We live on an island.
Yeah.
We're protecting our island. Well, it's not just a stretch of Norfolk coastline. This is a small island.
What sort of opportunities do you think we've got in the island? I think you're quite keen on things like renewable energy, aren't you?
Yeah, we've got loads of opportunity, but freedom to flourish must mean that. When somebody comes in and has an idea, sit and listen to these people. There's lots of good counsel out there, free. Let's listen to them.
But how do you sift out the good stuff, for the wheat from the chaff? Because there are plenty of people who've got opinions about things and, you know, they're not always terribly helpful.
They are, but then there's a lot of wise people too that don't come forward because, well, you talk to them, you know, the old saying, there's no point knocking if there's nobody at home. They've got good ideas, but they go to an MHK, they go to a civil servant. Well, nice idea. Next, please. They won't follow it on. They won't grasp it.
Okay. And what sort of unique selling proposition have we got for people to try and encourage businesses from off-island to move to the island? Is it just quality of life, do you think?
We need to forget about the low tax. If we can stay on a parallel with England, we'll be fine. What England cannot offer is our quality of life. Yeah. There's no comparison, but we just don't sell that enough.
Do you not think so? Because the DED was set up to sell that idea to people. Do you not think it's working?
Well, it hasn't worked, no.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've got various companies here that have set up over the last 5-10 years. You're just saying that it's not worked well enough.
Well enough possibly would have been a fairer assessment. Yes, well enough. But we could do so much more.
What do we need? A super salesman, an ambassador for the Isle of Man?
I think we need to start to help ourselves first. The government needs to start a marina in the inner harbour in Ramsey. That could be developed. There's never going to be any silting issues. That's a golden opportunity to have a marina to develop it. That's a little catalyst. Look at the marina in Peel. The catalyst that was. But it's a job half finished. Look at Spit Corner. That's a wonderful hotel site there, and here it is, a public toilet and a DOI yard. It's disgraceful.
Okay.
You know, the opportunities are there.
All right, let's talk less about business and opportunities. Let's talk about social issues. What about things like means testing for housing? How far would you go with that?
I think it'd have to come in. There are people with running business on 30, 40 grand a year living in a council house. They're only in the minority, but it's not fair for the people that are wanting to get a council house.
Right, okay. So more means testing. I mean, there's a downside to that as well. And other people have talked about the fact that if you increase the amount of means testing, then that means more fiefdoms and more people having to administer the scheme, for example. So is there a balance in it, or is it just something that everybody should have to go through?
I think it's only fair and proper. It's only that they should go through it. Equally so, I think we should be looking to reduce the rate, the rental on for the first couple of years for a couple that are trying to get on the ladder. It's a two-way. There's no point in just knocking the guy that's successful and living in the council house. The people that can't afford a house, if they get 2 years a cheaper rent, well, then they can afford to save.
Yeah. What about...
Just,
sorry, go on.
No, you're all right.
What about things like healthcare? Because that's a concern to a lot of people.
Well, that's just a money pit that you'll never fill. You never fill. I mean, if simplistically, try to avoid the place. Try to, try not to get injured. Try to eat healthy. Try to live healthy. But people don't like nanny state telling them how they should live their lives.
There's always another side to it, isn't there? Yeah. You see, what you're saying is quite right, but there are an awful lot of people who don't like the idea of nannyism, and there is an awful lot of that these days, isn't there?
But surely in time we cannot expect nanny to pay for everything, cradle to grave. That model has to end.
Okay.
It's just not going to be there. We have to start lifestyle choices, possible insurance, possible small fees for to see the doctor. These things have to creep in. There has to be a level of, you personally have to take some responsibility.
That's one of the things that is in many ways likely to happen, I expect, but a lot of people are saying, no, that's not right, because we all pay our national insurance, we all pay our tax, we expect services in return, and the services that we're getting in return seem to be fewer and fewer, and we're paying more and more in taxes and charges. You know, how should government raise revenues to pay for these essential services? And are we paying taxes for things that are non-essential at the moment?
Well, you asked me at the start, how do you save money in departments? You have to sit and scrutinise. Each department is responsible. They have to scrutinise. But if they work together, what could be saved in one department that could be helped in another department? It's like manufacturing a car. If all the emphasis is put on the wheels, and the guy that's doing the gearbox hasn't got the money, you're never going to get the car down the road.
Yeah.
Collectively, you will get the car down the road if you work as a team. But you're right, to get money into the economy, planning is a major, that is one major thing that we can do. We've got control of, if we're prepared to give new guidelines to the planning officers. And basically, we're proactive. We're not concrete in the Isle of Man, but let's be seen. Let's encourage development.
And are you convinced that there would be the demand for the buildings that you're talking about putting up? I mean, that's the other side of it. It's all very well saying relax planning, allow people to do all sorts of work on the houses build new houses, factories.
I mean, I can only speak as I find that the people I deal with, some people, they want a big house. Some people, they just want to convert a barn, and they're told, well, actually, you're only allowed 90%. You can't have 110.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple that's going to spend maybe 20 grand more on their property, but the guidelines say no, the box ticking is only this size. You know,
you work within the construction industry, so you've obviously got a vested interest in it. A lot of people that listen to this programme have said to me over the years, hang on a minute, why is it the government's always talking about bolstering the construction industry? What about everybody else? What about retail and people, you know, financial services? It's always construction that we've got to protect. Why do you think that is?
I think that it's the physical sign. It's like a barometer, a social barometer. If you see development, if you go to London now and look along that skyline, it's just a mass of cranes. That's a positive sign. But again, I'm not looking to concrete the countryside. There's a lot of land here we can develop.
Well, and lots of things that need putting right as well. So where do you stand, for example, on Douglas Promenade and the scheme there?
Well, every man and his dog now has got an opinion on the promenade. Trams this side, trams the other side. Again, personally, I think they should be moved to Ramsey.
The trams.
Interesting. I think it's a lovely, quiet promenade there, running parallel with the sea on one side, the Moorook Park on the other.
Yeah.
In 20 years' time, well, that is the historic tram.
Yeah.
It's not on the old tram lines. But again, this will be for the team to decide. And people have to accept the team will decide this, and just we've got to go with it.
Okay, and how would you see this team working? Because it fascinates me. I'm not disputing anything that you say about the fact that, you know, members of Keys maybe ought to work together more closely. But how would you do it? Because the politicians at the moment would say, "Well, that's why we've got a council of ministers. That is the team. Effectively, they decide between them what's going to happen, and then try and get everybody else on board."
But that's the team of eight.
Sure. So, all right, so you've got a team of 24 then.
Yes.
You'd have to have somebody in charge of it, wouldn't you? You'd have to have different people with different roles within it. Isn't that just, you know, a different version of what we've got now?
No, I mean, you might not be a minister as such, but you are like-minded. Mm. So you are part of that team.
Well, it depends on 23 other people being elected.
This is not my decision. This is exactly this. It's not. It will not be my decision. It will be Team Isle of Man, who the Isle of Man wants to put in and bat for them.
All right. Well, you've got 15 seconds to tell us why the people of Erin Michael should vote for Alan Kermode.
I think I could bring a lot to the table, but that'll be their decision, not mine.
All right. Candidate for Erin Michael, Alan Kermode, thanks for joining us today on the programme.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.